Well, tonight I want to talk to you about what could be your eternity. I want to paint a picture for each of us this evening of what is the most exquisite, the most beautiful, the most extraordinary future that awaits every Christian. And maybe tonight you don't call yourself a Christian. Maybe you're still exploring. That's why you're here, to connect with us. Maybe you think the lines we just sung in that song, Amazing Grace, in that last verse, maybe you think they're just a bit too much, a bit too ridiculous even. That we sing that when we've been there in this eternity for 10,000 years, we have no less days to sing his praise than when we first began. And maybe you can't quite get your head around that. 10,000 years, and then we haven't even begun eternity. Tonight I want to show you what this eternal paradise will look like. Maybe as a Christian, if you're here believing in Christ, maybe you're not quite looking forward to it. Maybe there's some anticipation, but also some trepidation perhaps. Maybe slightly dread what it might be like to forever and ever without end be in this place. What is this place like? Maybe there's things in life now that you want to do before you get to eternity, as it were. Maybe you want to see your children grow up. Maybe there's other things in life you're looking forward to. Maybe you're looking forward to getting married and enjoying all that that brings. Maybe there's a big holiday next year you don't want to miss out on. And eternity can just wait slightly. I don't know where you're at. So often we pin our hopes in life on what is here, on what's now, what we can get out of life. And so tonight I wanted to show us this great big picture of eternity. And I've got six things, six short points that we'll go through that are going to paint this picture for us. And they spell out this word, linker. Doesn't really mean anything, just happens to be what the word spells out. But maybe it'll help us remember these six points. And as we're going through, on your little bit of paper, do write them down to help embed this picture of eternity for us tonight. Maybe you can help me. Have a think now. What do you think could the L stand for? What is eternity about? What is it like? What could L stand for tonight? Any guesses? Love could be. It's not, though. Not the one I've thought of. Life, there we go, I heard a life. Eternity is eternal life. And that's one of the biggest pictures that the Bible uses to describe eternity. It is life. John 3:16, a very famous verse says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Now in this world, all that we really know is death. You see, the law of entropy, of everything fading and dying away, it's all around us. That's all we really know, because nothing lasts, does it? And our hair turns grey in one way. Our bodies get weaker. Great trees outside eventually topple, and they're no more. World-conquering empires that have now crumbled into history and forgotten about. Even the sun, that mighty shining light in the sky, is dying. It is running out of energy because everything in this world is dying. Nothing lasts. Nature is cursed. But in eternity, the groaning and the frustration of creation will be over. It will be gone forever. We will have freedom, and there will be liberation. There will be life. And that will be all that we know. Good, perfect, pure life. Imagine not having to dye your hair anymore. How great would that be? Not having to go there. Not having to throw out the off milk in the fridge. But far more seriously, things not dying or going away, we will live in a place where there is no more death of any kind, only life. There'll be no more pain, no more tears, just life in all its fullness. And life in a way that we all know deep down it's meant to be like. So the minute we try to fill what we call life with these sort of low-grade substitutes, don't we? So life, perhaps for you now, for us, is the weekend. That's life. What's coming up? Or maybe just a new phone, and that's what excites you. Say, maybe more Instagram followers. That's what makes my life worth living. Maybe a happy home or some new adventure in a foreign land somewhere. And so people live for now because they think that that's all that life is. And so they make the most of it. And that makes sense if that is all there is this what we know? But as Christians, if you are a believer in Christ, when we see eternity and we see that it is everlasting, then we can enjoy the good of the here and the now, but we don't put our hope in it. This isn't what life is all about for us. It doesn't define us. It doesn't need to make us depressed when things don't go the way that we wanted or the way that we hoped. Because our life is in an eternity where things will be great forever, and they will not die, they will not end. And this eternity will be glorious. It will be life as it was meant to be. How we all deep down long for ought to be now. And it will be like that forever. It will never disappoint. We will never die. We will become ancient. We will be without time. We will be living, existing forever in this complete and satisfying, this new, delightful place, day after day, forever. And we'll never grow tired of it. Maybe that's a worry. How are we going to explore and enjoy this place when things seem so samey now? Well, tiredness is a curse. It's things dying, our bodies losing energy. But we will have none of that in this new creation. We would never grow tired of exploring every new facet of this world that we live in. We won't see things twice and think, oh, that's that again. Every time we see it, it will be this new and fresh and exciting thing to be living in. It will be never wearying, only invigorating. This is eternity. This is life. And that's what the L stands for. What could the I stand for? This is a bit trickier. What is eternity like, do you think? Do you call it out if you think, you know?
Immortality.
Immortality, good idea, but no?
Inheritance.
Inheritance, well done, there we go. Eternity will be an inheritance. Well done, Dave. And this will be a great thing. It's what awaits every Christian in the age to come. So Hebrews in chapter 9, it says this. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now, we know how inheritances work, don't we? It's what's passed on to a future generation. And when one person dies, all that they have, perhaps their estate and their houses, their wealth, not even that, but also their titles, their nobility, if they were well known in this life, it is all passed on to the future generation. And so our queen, for instance, when she dies one day, her son will inherit all that she has, including the title of the reigning monarch of the British Empire. And all the responsibilities and all the privileges that come with that, being the head of the Commonwealth, all that someone has is passed on to those future generations. And so for the Christian, as children of God, Christians receive the greatest inheritance. But our inheritance is unique. You see, our Savior has died already, but he is no longer dead. This is the start of the Easter holidays right now. We're going to be remembering in a couple of weeks that great Easter weekend when death was beaten forever. So resurrection means not only life, but it means the inheritance for God's children is for now. And so we are heirs with Christ of all that God has because Christ is reigning in heaven. And we will share in all the riches of heaven, of all that Jesus has and is. As all the blessings that he has won for us, for his followers, for all those who believe and are baptized into his name. And so a Christian is someone who now belongs to a new family line. And it's greater than any earthly royalty or any other well-known thing you can be in this life, because our lineage now goes back to the very beginning of time, to the creator of the universe in Christ himself. That is where our inheritance lies, and all that this king has, he shares with us, with those who believe in him. What a wonderful thing eternity will be, enjoying the inheritance of the king of the world. In 1 Peter, there's another verse that says this, that this inheritance that we are going to enjoy is one that can never perish, will never spoil or fade. It is kept in heaven for us. Colossians also says that it is a reward for all those who follow Christ. Christ has earned these inheritances for us, and he shares them with us as we trust in him, living life now for his glory. And so as Christians, we are sons and daughters of a king, of the only, the greatest king. And we await this eternal inheritance. And we will never die. We will enjoy it forever. We will never have to pass on this inheritance to someone else. It is ours to keep forever because of Christ. Now, N is the next letter we're going to look at. It stands for now. I'll tell you that one. It might have been a bit too hard. It stands for now, because actually eternity begins right now. So our inheritance, in a way, is something we are waiting for to be fully completed. But because our eternal God exists outside of time, and so we have these sort of strange concepts in Christianity where things are now, but they're also not yet. There's this tension between them. And eternal life, it says in the Bible, in John chapter 5, is now. It says this, "He who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life." Do you see that little three-letter word there? Has. Not will have eternal life, but it says that Christian has eternal life now. And so eternal life isn't something that we are waiting for to begin, perhaps after we die. It is something that you have now as we believe in Jesus. Another verse in 1 Timothy 6 says this, that we are to take hold of the eternal life that you were called to when you made your good confession. And so we take hold of eternity now. It's something we grasp. And I think this is the key application for us tonight, this concept of a now, eternity beginning for us today. Because in a secular society that we live in, we're used to living for now, but we do it without much thought about tomorrow. So as young people, we have perhaps 70 years ahead of us of life. And so if we're fortunate enough to live that long, it seems like an eternity already as a young person to have so far ahead of us. And yet, we don't think about tomorrow, and we eat what we like, not worrying about diabetes around the corner. You do what you like with your body and abuse it in a way, not worrying about a bad back when you get older. And there's all sorts of things that all we do is think about now. Far worse, perhaps, people think about putting off following Jesus now, because maybe I can do that when I'm older. And this concept of thinking only about now is actually very damaging. But for the Christian, eternity does start now. And that's really freeing. Because sometimes we think we might miss out on this or that, and so we don't commit to something in case something better might come along later on. We don't want to be left behind, you know, when the crowd moves on. But if we have a mindset as Christians, knowing that our eternity has already begun now, then we can give our all to following Christ now. Because we know that we have this glorious inheritance that awaits us. And so whatever trials come our way, and whatever disappointments there may be, whatever losses we face now, they will seem light and momentary when you compare them to the eternal glory that awaits every Christian. In Romans, it describes us, believers, it describes them as those who are already glorified in Christ. And so the way that we are living now is with an eternal mindset. We don't worry about the temporary, but we give ourselves to living for this eternity instead, including our time, our money, our energy, our passions. What do we focus on? We give our life to an eternal kingdom, something that is awaiting for us, but also begins right now in everything that we do in our life. So that's the third letter for this evening. K, what could K stand for? What could eternity be? This is a noun I'm looking for. Any guesses? Tricky one. The king, that is part of the word. The king of a kingdom, that's right. So eternity is a kingdom. Thank you, Judy. 2 Peter, chapter 1, it tells us this. It tells us to make every effort to confirm your calling and election, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so now we're getting right down to what eternity will actually be like. It's a place where there is a king. Now we see glimpses of great monarchs in our lives and perhaps through history. Our present Queen Elizabeth is wonderful. We see her humility. We see her longevity. But that's merely a glimpse of the king of this future kingdom that we are a part of. See, our King Jesus' reign is marked by humility and longevity because it will last forever. Other kings in the Bible, perhaps King David, one of the greatest kings that ever lived. He reigned with such courage and faith, and yet our King Jesus is even greater. People like King Solomon reigning with all wisdom over the wealthiest empire the world has known, and yet our King Jesus is even greater than him. King Josiah, another great king, had a real love for God and a passion for holiness, and yet Jesus again far surpasses every monarch that this world has ever seen. The king of this kingdom that eternity is will be perfect. and also all creation will gladly submit to this king in this kingdom. And they will submit without the slightest hint of coercion or fear. So this existence will be simply marvelous. This kingdom will be so good to live in. There's a preacher called Jonathan Edwards, who lived a few centuries ago, and he preached this great sermon once, and I was reading it this week. And there's a sentence in the sermon which goes on and on and on, and it describes this kingdom. And I'm just going to read you a little bit of it now. It's not even a third, I think, of the whole sentence. He just goes on about how great this kingdom will be. That's what he says. He says, "What rest is there in that world, that this eternal kingdom, which the God of peace and love fills with his own gracious presence, and in which the Lamb of God lives and reigns, filling it with the brightest and sweetest beams of his love, where there is nothing to disturb or offend, and no being or object to be seen, that is not surrounded with perfect amiableness and sweetness, where the saints shall find and enjoy all that they love, and so be perfectly satisfied, where there is no enemy or enmity, but perfect love in every heart and every being, where there is perfect harmony among all the inhabitants, no one envying another, but everyone rejoicing in the happiness of every other, where all their love is humble and holy and perfectly Christian." And he goes on and on, and he's just describing how glorious this kingdom is, where everything is as it should be in this wonderful kingdom under King Jesus. It would be like nothing we have ever known, because as we see the King of this kingdom, we shall be like him. And all creation will sing and clap and rejoice as we praise our Maker and our King. And we will exist together, gladly being ruled by the King, who is everlasting, who is all-powerful, and who is all-good, and who loves to bless all those citizens in that kingdom. It'll be a delight to be present in that kingdom. Two more points, E and R. What could E stand for tonight? What will eternity be like? Everlasting, it will, but that's in the title. Any more guesses? It's going to be a good place to be. It will be exceptional. Similar, close word. Excellent. I'm looking for the word enjoyable. It's going to be enjoyable. Good. We're almost there. Isaiah 35, I want to take us there. This is a great chapter in the Bible, and perhaps you could look it up later on, because the whole chapter is about what the kingdom of God will be like. Let me show you one verse from it, verse 10. It says, "Only the redeemed will walk there, and they will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away." So eternity will be overwhelmingly enjoyable. So throw away any concept that you have of heaven being boring, or static, or too familiar. How can it? When we see the King with our new resurrected bodies, that will be stronger, that will be fuller, more spiritual, more glorious and everlasting, it will be the most enjoyable place that we will ever know. And our ability to enjoy God and all his gifts, they won't be hindered by the sort of half-heartedness that we often have now in this life. And there's this battle going on now between our old selves and our new selves. And so we sometimes enjoy things, sometimes dread things. And there's this tension in life. But in heaven, in this new creation, it will be so enjoyable, because we will have all that we need to be able to respond rightly to the goodness that is around us. We will feel more deeply true emotion, the truest joy, forever increasing for all eternity, because the God of joy will be in our midst. And that's the last letter for tonight, which is possibly my favorite letter, which I want to end with. R. What could R stand for? What will it be like eternity?
Rejoicing.
It will be rejoicing. But why? Because we'll be with someone, which means a what? A relationship. That's what it will be like. Eternity is a relationship. So John 17, it says this. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And so eternity is a personal and intimate knowing God. It's not some vaccination against the disease of death, or some new holiday destination that will just be a great place to be. It will be a knowing and relating to God himself. And so this is eternal life, that we know God. And we will have this real, physical, enjoyable relationship with our Creator, with our King, with our Savior, with our brother, with our friend, our groom. That's the sort of language that the Bible uses to describe this King. And they're all relational words. 1 John 5 also says this, that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. You see, it's in Jesus. It is in a person. And so eternity is all wrapped up in who Christ is. And we will be in His presence forever. And so think of the best relationships that you know in this life right now. You know, maybe the warmth of your mum, being with her. Maybe the love of your spouse. The laughter you have with your best friend. Now, the dependability of your dad. The trust of those in your sports team or those you've gone into battle with somehow. These glimpses of good things about relationships, we see them now as they're meant to be. But for eternity, do you know what? Our God has enjoyed the greatest relationship there's ever been within Himself, because our God is Trinity. He is three in one. This is who God is. He is relationship at His very essence. And so we too will share in knowing God in a personal relationship. And that is eternity. Perhaps that's the whole purpose of our existence, is so that God can share what He has with us, with others, with you and me, with relationship forever. So that's why we build towns and communities and families right now, because we are made for relationship. And that is what our eternity will be like with God. He has known this perfect relationship for all time. And we will enjoy that, not just with our equals, not just with one another, with creation, but with God, our King. How beautiful will that be? And He will dwell with us on this earth, in a new earth, created as it should be for eternity. And so this is eternity. I've very briefly gone through six big points that I hope have begun to paint a picture of what eternity is. And I can't wait for it. I really can't. I'm longing for that day when I see my King face to face and enjoy fully the relationship that we have with Him even now. And so this is what eternity is. It is life. Life has begun. We can have a place where we call Jesus our Savior and our Lord because He gives us all that we need. We have a marvelous inheritance with all the riches, with all the glory of knowing God. We begin to enjoy all these benefits even now with every spiritual blessing poured out to us in Christ. Eternity is a kingdom where King Jesus reigns unopposed over all creation, and all creation gladly responds rightly to the King. And so it'll be so enjoyable because everything is as it was meant to be. And it will delight every sense that we have. Every longing of ours will be fulfilled forever because the relationship that we're all made for will be known and experienced fully, perfectly. And the veil that's sort of over our eyes right now that makes everything so dim, it will be lifted and we will see our God as He is face to face. And we will know His great love for us in Christ. And there will be joy perfect for all eternity. And so my question to finish with tonight is this your eternity? Is this what you know you are heading towards? We've been looking through Connect series, and as we come to an end, I long for it to be your eternity. There's no better place to be, and I want this to be the most enjoyable evening as we just see all that our future awaits as we are in Christ. Why would you not want it to be yours tonight?